The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply, but the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers, and everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/get started for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, January 9th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, I'm going to be joined by a very special guest to talk about her top 10 movies of 2024. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Inverse Entertainment editor, Y-Tran Bui.
Hey, everyone. I'm
HJ,
back.
Oh, so good to have you back on the show. I look forward to this every year now. We've created this little tradition of having you come on to talk about your top 10 movies of the year. Because as far as I know, you still haven't found a place to really publish these sort of personal lists outside of what, Letterboxd or something, right?
Yeah, basically, I log on to Letterboxd at 11 p.m. every New Year's Eve, and I put my top lit movies of the year there, and that's the only place where I put them. We have like a collaborative top movies of the year list at Inverse, but I don't have my personal one published anywhere, and I need to get it out somewhere. And I'm so happy that we've kept up this tradition. But I'm always a little surprised whenever you invite me back. I'm like, oh, this is so exciting. And I'm glad that we've kept this up.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm so thrilled to go through the movie year that was 2024 with you. And I have to admit that I saw in your Instagram stories, I think you posted your like a screenshot of your Letterboxd list, and I saw that, and I saw your number one movie, and I immediately clicked away from it so fast because I was like, I don't want to be spoiled for the rest of HG's list. So I do know what your number one movie of the year was. I'm guessing most of our listeners don't, so they will have to keep the suspense up as we move through this conversation. But I am clueless as to the rest of it.
If anyone knows me, though, they will not find my number one very surprising at all.
Yes, that's true. Especially if previous years have anything to say about that as well. So, all right, let's jump in before we get into your list itself to honorable mentions. Are there any movies that you wanted to mention before we sort of kick things off properly?
Yeah, I have a couple of honorable mentions. I wanted to mention La Camera, which is a beautiful movie directed by Alice Rohrwacher, who directed another movie that we both love, Happy as Lazaro. And this one stars Josh O'Connor as a English archaeologist in the 80s who kind of finds himself part of a gang of grave robbers and is sort of trying to find his way back to his lost love. It's a ghost story. It's a very strange ghost story, is what I will say, and a very enchanting one at that. Another honorable mention, Hitman, a movie I absolutely adored and loved and had such a blast watching with audiences, which I think is a shame that most people did not see it with audiences. But this is the Richard Linklater movie starring Glenn Powell as a mild-mannered professor who moonlights as an imagined hitman and falls in love with one of his, I guess you'd say, marks. And another honorable mention, Civil War, Alex Garland's dystopic, speculative sci-fi movie that was quite controversial, but I really dug and I think is kind of I don't want to say misread. I'll say misread. Another one, The Wild Robots. Absolutely love this one, directed by Chris Sanders, the DreamWorks animated film about an intelligent robot that befriends an island full of animals. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, directed by George Miller, the prequel to Mad Max Fury Road. Incredible blockbuster filmmaking. And my last couple honorable mentions, Trap, M. Night Shyamalan will defend this movie. It's so fun. And Queer, directed by Luca Guadagnino, that I didn't include in my letterbox list. So those are my honorable mentions.
Amazing. Yeah, that's a great collection of movies that probably could form, you know, something of a top 10 all to their own. I'm sure a lot of people have movies like that listed in their top 10. You mentioned La Chimera, I think is how you pronounce it. That one's been on my list for a long time. And it's, I think it's streaming on Hulu right now. I was like very close to pulling the trigger and watching that the other night. So I need to finally get around to checking that one out. So that's a great reminder to me personally to watch that one. So, all right, HC, let's do it. Let's jump in here. What is your number 10 movie of 2024?
My number 10 movie of 2024 is Nosferatu, directed by Robert Eggers. His adaptation of F.W. Murnau's 1922 silent film. And this is a deliciously perverse, grotesque, gothic horror that does that gives a really just fantastic update on the original while taking incredible visceral inspiration from Andrzej Zawadzki's Possession in ways I found surprising and exciting and just thrilling altogether. A beautiful film, a fantastic central performance by Lily Rose Depp that I found really surprising, and as well as the entire cast. I absolutely love Nicholas Holt in this, who plays a shivering, simpering every man really well, and Willem Dafoe is fantastic, as is Bill Skarsgård as Count Orlok, the vampire at the center of this movie. I love this movie, and I feel like Robert Eggers has not had a miss, and this is yet again another hit from him.
Awesome. Yeah, as soon as I saw Willem Dafoe in this movie, I was like, hey, she's going to love this performance. yeah, great stuff there. Okay, so Nosferatu, number 10. What is your number 9 movie?
My number 9 movie is an animated movie called Flow. It's Latvian's Oscar contender for this year for the Best International Picture category. And it's directed by Gints Zilbalotis. It's this beautiful, completely dialogue-free little odyssey of a cat that finds itself stranded in a great flood that takes over the entirety of the earth. And it finds itself paired with an unlikely group of other animals, including a very eager dog. It originally was a rival at the beginning and ends up befriending. It's a found family movie, as well as this great odyssey and a strange sort of post-apocalyptic film as well. It's gorgeously animated and one of the best animated movie of the year for me, and it's fantastic. So Flow, highly recommend that if you have the chance to check that out. I watched this with my cat and got very distressed while watching it, and she did not care one bit. She was like, wow, I don't care whether this cat lives or dies.
I was going to ask how much this movie's placement on your list correlated to you being the owner of a cat now, or a relatively recent owner of a cat, but yeah,
it kind of, I'm pretty sure it did like bump it up a lot because of my recent ownership of a cat. I have a cat now, guys.
Yes, definitely check out HC's Instagram for some adorable cat content if you're in the mood at all for that. All right, let's get into number 8 now. Tell me what your number 8 movie is.
My number 8 movie is The Beast, or La Bête, directed by Bertrand Bonello. It stars Léa Seydoux as a woman who decides to purify her DNA to get a job. And it's set in this strange futuristic society where people have to, I think, purify their DNA to get a job or further their careers. It's not quite explained, but the important part is the actual purification process, which takes people through their past lives and past romances. And Léa Seydoux's character, Gabrielle, finds that she has had a life intertwined with a man played by George MacKay in all her past lives. And each of them have ended tragically in some manner, either through death or violence or just unrequited love. And it's this generation-spanning cosmic romance that is very surreal and Lynchian, and captures David Lynch's tone and vibe in a way that I feel like very few contemporary sci-fi films have been able to. It's just very unnerving and like a half-remembered fever dream. So that one is another underrated sci-fi film that I think that people should check out, and is fantastic performances from both Lea Seydoux and George MacKay, who I was very, very impressed in this movie by.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeremy Smith came on an episode of our podcast at the end of the year and was really going to bat for this movie in our sort of group best movies of the year list. And I don't remember if it actually made the cut or not. It might have. It might have sort of squeezed in there at the bottom because he was arguing really passionately about this movie. And I'd love to see this on your list because I think this is sort of one of the more under-discussed movies, certainly of the ones that we'll probably have been talking about in our episodes of these top 10 movies that we're doing here. So yeah, The Beast is the English title for this movie. Really great stuff. Aisha, did you have a preferred timeline of this movie? It sort of splits its narrative into two or three different timelines. Was there one that you connected with a little bit more than the others?
Connected to, found most entertaining, I guess I would say, is the one set in, I think, 2014, like the kind of most contemporary one, where George MacKay plays an incel. Yes. I found that one to be the most compelling, I would say, because it was MacKay gives the most sort of like out there performance as the incel who kind of obsesses and stalks over Lea Seydoux's character. And I think it's the longest segment too. And it does go in it does kind of meander a little bit in a way that I found to be a slightly sluggish, but I think it offers the most unlikely kind of part of the movie, because the movie, large part of it takes place in like 18th century France or something, and that kind of feels like a period film at that point. But then the contemporary part feels very almost like tongue-in-cheek in a way. I think there's like a clip of like Lea Seydoux watching Trash Humpers. do you know this? So the 2009 film directed by Harmony Korine. I think like the one like prestigious art house sci-fi movie that will have a clip from Trash Humpers in it because of this one segment. I don't really know if I'm like best, describing this segment. It is like a very complicated, really interesting and complex segment. But yeah, I think this is the one that I found to be at least the most compelling.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Okay, so that was your number 7, right?
Number 8.
Oh, number 8. Okay, all right. So tell me your number 7.
My number 7 is Conclave. I adore this movie, and it took me completely by surprise. So this is a movie directed by Edward Berger. It stars Ralph Fiennes as a cardinal who is tasked with managing the ancient ritual of electing a new pope after the death of the latest one, a conclave. And they sequester all the popes in the Vatican, or all the cardinals in the Vatican to select the new pope. And this is a movie that is alternately a dark, twisty conspiracy film that evokes the tone and atmosphere of 70s paranoid thrillers mixed with the catty drama and petty twists of a Gossip Girl episode. It's fantastic. There's so many great things. The best thing about this is that it treats every single twist with utmost sincerity and seriousness, even as you have a cardinal that's hitting the vape like every other scene. And you have a scene that's like straight out of the Mean Girls burn book scene. But it also is treated with the seriousness of a Watergate style conspiracy thriller. Ralph Fiennes, fantastic in it. Isabella Rossellini coming in with a just the complete sneak attack of a fantastic supporting performance. And I absolutely love this. I hooted and hollered during this movie, and I think it was midway through this film as I was watching in theaters that I realized what a fun movie this was and how it was embracing being fun while being completely serious about that, that I started like to clap and laugh with along with my friends. One of the best theatrical experiences of the year that I've had, and I did not expect it to be a movie – to be in a movie about a bunch of cardinals electing a pope.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you talked about this movie in that way, because I think a lot of people who haven't seen it yet might see the subject matter or even see the trailer and be like, oh God, this is going to be sort of a slog. This is like super serious stuff. It's a bunch of character actors I've seen like walking around and talking in rooms. But yeah, the sort of cattiness and the fun of the movie is really on display once you actually give it a shot. So excellent stuff there. Great pick. All right. Tell me your number six movie of 2024.
My number six movie of 2024 is another movie that I had a surprisingly great theatrical experience out of, and that is Luca Guadagnino's Challengers. I was absolutely riveted this entire film. It stars Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, Mike Faist as a trio slash love triangle who are in love with each other and tennis. And This is one of the most electrifying movies of the year. It follows these three tennis players from teenhood through adulthood and how their kind of naughty relationships with each other turn into this fantastic tennis match off the court and on the court. And Luca Guadagnino goes crazy in this movie. That's the only way I can describe it. I've never seen a tennis movie filmed in such an exciting and radical way. I mean, I can point out like a variety of scenes, but one of the final shots of the film is in the tennis match between Josh O'Connor and Mike Faist's characters, and it's shot from beneath them, and you can see like their feet that you can see from above, like the floor is like glass. And it's just like, you're like, what is this? And then another point during the same match, you become the tennis ball and you're like, what's happening? And then coupled with Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, truly incredible score, like a very 80s synthy, very electric, electronic and electric score. Which became the soundtrack of 2024 for me. Like literally I was playing this Challengers soundtrack nonstop after watching this movie. This would become like my go-to work soundtrack. And I just felt like I was going to take over the world every time I played it. fantastic performances from Josh O'Connor, Mike Faist, Zendaya. Zendaya is an absolute ice queen and just completely proving her on-screen magnetism in this movie. I think this was also kind of the year of Josh O'Connor with this and La Chimera too. Fantastic movie, incredibly directed. One of the most fun times I've had in the theater this year outside of Conclave. So Challengers.
Amazing pick. All right, let's take a break and then we'll come back and do your top five movies of 2024.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we have reached the top five section, HT. What is your number five movie of the year?
My number five movie of the year is The Brutalist, directed by Brady Corbett, an epic, towering immigrant saga starring Adrian Brody as Laszlo Toth, a a Hungarian Jewish architect who comes to America to attempt to rebuild his life and finds himself under the employ of an eccentric, wealthy industrialist played by Guy Pearce, who gives a career best performance in a movie full of career best performances. Pierce is incredible, slippery, a little steely. Adrian Brody, so fantastic in this. Felicity Jones, also incredible. And this movie is a movie that I don't know if I feel totally equipped to talk about. When I watched it, I just felt a little overwhelmed by the entire thing. But it is – it feels like a great American novel writ as a film. And that's the best way that I can describe it. It's a fantastic movie. 3.5 hour, I think, long epic. And every single minute flies by. And it's just a movie that I cannot recommend enough. That's The Brutalist.
Excellent. Yeah, I kind of came into this one with my arms crossed a little bit, like, because there was so much praise for it, and like the runtime is so wild, and I was just like, I don't know about this. And it's kind of undeniable in its scope and the its reach. You know, mm-hmm. it's going for so much as a movie. So just yeah, an incredible accomplishment there. So that's your number five. Tell me your number four movie of the year.
My number four movie is Anora. So I saw this movie at the Cannes Film Festival, which I went to for the first time last year. And it was a big bucket list item for me. So I was very excited to go. And I was swept up in the Cannes frenzy. Like, you know, if people like stand up and clap and you get to give a standing ovation. I did not go to one of the premieres for this. I just went to a press screening. But even so, we all clapped at the end. I also experienced people booing at the end of a movie in Cannes, which I found to be hilarious. It was during Megalopolis. but Anora is the movie directed by Sean Baker. It stars Mikey Madison as a young sex worker, a dancer at a strip club, who finds her white whale, basically a rich Russian heir who marries her and takes her on this whirlwind journey through his rich, fantastic, wealthy life. And she thinks that she's got it made. She's got out. But then after they are found out by his family, it turns into a surprising sort of screwball meets after hours / good time suspense type film escapade. So yeah, the first half is a modern day update on Pretty Woman. The second half is bringing up baby meets good time or Uncut Gems. Like that's how I would describe it. And the entire time is just nonstop enjoyable. Like I had such a blast watching this movie, and I think that it's such a crowd pleasing, accessible film. Mikey Madison really gives, I'm going to say a lot of performances of their career to this podcast, but she gives the performance of her career. It's a real star-making turn from her. She's so magnetic. She's so incredible and dazzling. And you got Russian Timothy Chalamet with what's his name, Mark Edelstein, or I don't know how to say his full name. I'm sorry.
I think that's right.
I think it's a really fantastic, really just fun movie with a very moving final act that I still find myself incredibly moved by. So that's Anora.
Amazing. All right. Well, God, Aishi, there's so much I want to talk to you about. Like, I feel like we could do an entire podcast episode just about your Cannes experience. But maybe like give me a 2 or 3 minute recap of that. Like, I know you speak French, so that was kind of that must have been giving you a sort of a leg up in that environment. But what was that experience like going there for the first time?
Yes, I speak French well enough that when I went to order my daily morning croissant and coffee, I would order in French and they would speak to me back in French. And that's how
nice.
that was my French speaking ability. Cannes is amazing, Ben. It's I hate to be like, it's amazing. Like you're going to see movies on the French Riviera because it sounds so exclusive. But it does it really is kind of unbeatable to see all these movies with people who really enjoy and are excited about film, and not just the process of seeing movies and seeing them for the first time before like the rest of the world sees them, but to be in an environment where you're surrounded by other writers who also enjoy film and think about film in a way that is just like challenges the way that you think about film. It was like being back in film school, and that was something that was very exciting to me, meeting a lot of my writing heroes and journal and like film critic heroes. And that was something that was just incredible to me, more so than seeing celebrities, more so than seeing movies for the first time before everything else, and like the red carpet and everything like that, which I only got to go to one, and they shoveled us off in the back. So I don't know if that was like the greatest experience, but yeah, it is incredible. And it's just like you see so many movies that you would not expect to kind of take you to love. And yes, I was part of the Emilia Perez initial wave of praise, and I liked it still. And I know that it's kind of become the award season villain, and I understand everyone who hates it, but I liked it, had a good time. I also was one of the first people to see The Substance and did not like it. So I had my experiences, but it was great. It was the most unique like film going experience I've ever had. And I would love to go it again. Just it was expensive though, because I had to pay my own way for it. So that was one thing. Mm. But yeah, you really can't beat seeing movies on the French Riviera and movies with people who also love movies.
Yeah, amazing. Well, that sounds incredible, Aishi. So, all right. So now let's get into your top three. So tell me your number three movie of 2024.
My number three movie of 2024 is I Saw the TV Glow, directed by Jane Schobrin. And this movie, speaking of movies that capture and manage to evoke David Lynch, is very much that of that same surreal, unnerving, upsetting DNA that I found to be very unique to Lynch, just that the same DNA that cut from the same DNA of like Mulholland Drive, for example. Mm. So this movie is stars Justice Smith as a young teenager who finds himself enraptured by a TV show called The Pink
The Pink Opaque, right?
The Pink Opaque, yes. The Pink Opaque. And he and his classmate Maddie become obsessed with this TV show and finds themselves sort of exploring their own gender identity and identity in general through this show, which he remembers as much more surreal and challenging and interesting than when he revisits it many years later. And this is a movie that kind of shook me to my core. It is very experimental, which I found to be quite surprising for a film that is as that was as big as it was. I think that it, like I said, is just like it's an unnerving movie that manages to touch on so many different experiences that I haven't lived in myself, but manages to do so in such a moving and profound way that I found myself questioning my own existence. And it's a fantastic movie that I don't know if I'll ever see again, just because it was so unnerving. But it gets under your skin in a way that I found to be just, yeah, untouchable. And I wish I could better explain it, but this is a movie that I found to be just like, it's better seen than spoken about, I feel like. So I Saw the TV Glow. Fantastic, fantastic movie.
Excellent. All right. Your number two movie of 2024.
My number two movie is Nickel Boys, directed by Ramel Ross. And this is another movie that I had no expectations for. I did not know anything about it going in, which led me to be completely surprised and taken aback by how incredible this film is. So it's about two young black teenagers who find themselves in the Nickel Academy, which is this sort of reform school for young juveniles. It turns out that there is a lot, it takes place in, I think, the 60s, right in the midst of the civil rights movement. But the civil rights movement has not yet reached this one school, which is mired by abuse. And soon, as the boys find out, many documented bodies. So this movie is also quite experimental. It has distinctly is shot entirely from POV shots. And this is not POV in the way that you think of in TikTok, because TikTok has completely just gone away with the actual definition of POV. So this is from the point perspective of these characters, and it jumps back and forth between their perspectives, and you see them through each other's eyes and through mirrors and reflections, because that's the actual POV that it is. And it's such a, at first jarring, but then completely, I think, revolutionary way of filmmaking that I found to be just, I could not look away. And it's a beautiful, again, really heartbreaking, devastating film, but one that is just like does something with filmmaking that I haven't seen any other film this year do, or film in 2024 do. It's really, really fantastic. I know it's based on a book. I haven't read it, but I need to check it out. And so that's Nickel Boys, Dr. Ramel Ross. And I highly, highly recommend it. I think it's going wide. This January, it was only playing in select theaters in New York and LA in December. But once it does release in your theater, I urgently urge you to go see it, Nickel Boys.
Awesome. All right. So we have now come to it, HC. What is your number one movie of 2024?
Like I said, anyone who knows me will not be surprised, but my number one movie is Dune Part 2. Directed by Denis Villeneuve. I love this movie. I am obsessed with this movie. I made my personality for the first half of 2024. This is a blockbuster sci-fi epic, the likes of which we haven't seen in, I want to say, like, at least a decade. It's just, it does everything right with adapting such a alienating story as the Dune saga, as the second half of Dune, really. So this adapts the second half of Frank Herbert's Dune, which in my reading of the book, I always found to be a little bit kind of hard to get through, because it goes into strange places, and it does take you a little bit out of the perspective of its lead, Paul Atreides, played by Timothée Chalamet. And I will say, it's not because Timothée Chalamet is in this movie. I know that my love for him is well documented, but it is because it's Dune, guys. But what Denis Villeneuve does incredibly with this film is that he streamlines a kind of difficult part of the book and turns it into this Shakespearean tragedy slash epic that is anchored by the central romance between Paul and Chani, and makes it, and that in that way makes it much more accessible and easier to follow, and because you can see the downfall of Paul Atreides by his ascent to basically be a new ruler, and what we'll know as to be, well, we'll soon kind of see is foreshadowed, a tyrant. And we see that choice is given to him and that he tries to avoid it because of his love for Chani, and that becomes the stakes in Dune. And it's the incredible set pieces, it's the central romance, it's the hero's journey that is turned dark, and that I think makes Dune Part 2 just one of the best sci-fi epics of this decade. So that's Dune 2.
Amazing. I have not given my top 10 yet, and I think maybe now I'll just run through it real quick, like not even providing the level of analysis that you just did in that movie. But the reason I'm going to do it on this episode is because I think this is the last top 10 movie episode that we're going to do for 2024, but also because my number one is also Dune Part 2.
Yeah.
I love this movie so much, and for all the reasons you said, and it's just, it has the best ensemble of any movie I saw this year, which in a film year that included, you know, something like Conclave and Challengers and Anora and Sing Sing and His Three Daughters and like all these amazing movies that are these just sort of like incredible collections of great actors. I just really didn't think it got any better than Dune Part 2 in terms of like grabbing the best people for the best roles And my God, what Denis is able to do in that movie is just unreal. So anyway, yeah, I'll just run through my list real quick. So It's What's Inside is my number 10. My number 9 is Challengers. Number 8 is The Substance. Number 7 is Nosferatu. Number 6 is The Brutalist. Number 5 is The Remarkable Life of Ibelin. Number 4 is Conclave. Number 3 is Sing Sing. Number 2 is Wicked, surprising me more than anybody else. And yes, number 1 is Dune Part 2. So yeah, just a great movie year. I think if I were to throw in a couple of honorable mentions, I'd probably mention The Bike Riders, We Live in Time, which I really love and think has probably not gotten enough love at the end of the year. And then My Old Ass, which I know Brad really loved. So
I want to say I think The Bike Riders, very underrated as well. Just a kind of quiet slice of a lost part of history that I found to be surprisingly moving. Also, Tom Hardy doing weird voices.
Yeah, I mean, you can never get enough of that. All right, Aishi, this has been so awesome. I it's like I want to keep talking to you because we don't really get to talk that much. But I guess we have to cut it off for the purposes of brevity. And we've done what we've set out to do. But is there any other, I don't know, things you want to tack on to the end of this conversation before we wrap it up?
2024, but despite what people were saying, was a good year for movies. And I don't think that it was bad, as many people were saying. Yes, good movie. Good year for movies is what I'll say.
All right, excellent. Well, yes, I'm going to put a link to HT's author profile at Inverse in the show notes. So you can go over there and seek out her work and check out a bunch of her stuff. If you're not doing that already, I encourage you to click over there. And yeah, you can find more about all the stories that we mentioned on the show at slashfilm.com. I'll try to link to a couple things in the show notes. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening. And thank you to HT for coming back. This is such it's been such a pleasure to talk to you about movies again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back, and I'll see you in a year.
Yes, looking forward to it. All right, thanks everyone, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.